Fox, inside low left, Eric Williams. Stockton steals. There it is. Stockton stole the ball. He's the all-time leader in the history of the game. 2,311. Stockton left to right. Over to Carmelo. 50 foot of the base. Yes. Stockton the ball. Stockton with the ball, front court left. He looks to Carmelo. He's got him low. The mailman jumps it. Shot up. It's in. He did it. John Stockton to Carmelo. John Stockton with 11 assists. They're on their feet. A new NBA assist king.
Russell will inbound at half court.
Uh-oh.
Stockton, open three. Hit it! John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
Welcome to Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Priest. You can find us on Twitter at bpriest24. Facebook, just search for Name Change Pending, and also on Instagram at NameChangePending24. Today we're going to be talking about the Utah Jazz final preseason matchup last night. They lost to the Portland Trail Blazers. The first quarter, the Blazers got out to a hot start, leading by a score of 23-10 with 5:54 remaining in the quarter. That was after a Blazers 11-0 run. Then the Jazz offense got going with threes from Emmanuel Mudiay, Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley started to really push the team forward offensively. The defense did struggle throughout this quarter, as they have in the preseason. They couldn't get consistent stops, but they were able to close the gap from 13 points to a 38-32 deficit at the end of one quarter. In the second quarter, the Jazz came out hot, started chipping away at that Blazers lead again, and finally took the lead at the 8:50 mark on a Joe Ingles three. Joe Ingles ended up going 3-for-3 from the three-point line in that quarter. And offensively, the Jazz really got the blender going at times in this quarter. They were swinging the ball quickly, finding open shooters, and hitting those shots, which is something that we saw a lot last year as far as the blender and moving the ball around and finding open looks, but they struggled to hit those shots a lot last year. For the Blazers, C.J. McCollum was really hot in the first half. He kept it going in the second quarter, finished the first half with 14 points on 6 of 8 shooting. Donovan Mitchell also had a hot start to the game. He found driving lanes that just didn't exist last season and was able to wrap up the first half shooting 8 of 13 with 4 three-pointers, and he ended the half with 22 points. At halftime, the Jazz went into the locker room trailing 67-65. They came back out in the third quarter, Jazz, like I said, trailing 67-65. They were able to take the lead with just under 8 minutes left in the quarter on a Royce O'Neal putback dunk. Pretty awesome athleticism on that putback dunk by Royce O'Neal. Puts the Jazz in front, 71-69. Unfortunately, that was going to be the last Jazz lead of the game. We saw in the first and third quarters the Jazz lineup struggled defensively. They allowed 38 points in the first quarter and then 20 points against mostly the starters in the first 8 minutes of the third. That's obviously going to be something the Jazz will have to shore up if they want to live up to some of the expectations they have this year. C.J. McCollum again stayed hot in the third. He scored 9 more points, hit several tough shots with defenders in his face, a couple of step backs, hit some shots over Rudy Gobert. Just an all-around good night for C.J. McCollum. If he and Damian Lillard can play the way that they did, the Blazers are going to be awfully tough this season. At the end of the third, the Blazers led by 8 by a score of 94-86. So we go into the fourth quarter. This being the last preseason game, Quinn Snyder was trying to get his guys minutes and really get their fitness level up. As opposed to previous preseason games, the most starters for both teams were still in during the fourth quarter and played a few minutes last night. But the Jazz, their starting lineup just struggled to make any headway and chip away at that Trailblazers lead. So with just under 6 minutes left in the game, The final Jazz starters left on the floor. Donovan Mitchell and Bojan Bogdanovic checked out with the Jazz trailing 114-96. And then to wrap up the quarter and the game, George Niang came in and he had a flurry of threes, finished the game with 11 points in only 9 minutes of play, hit 3 three-pointers in the fourth. Jazz end up losing this game 126-118. So in summary from last night, while the Jazz defense continues to struggle, allowing Portland to shoot 57.8% from the field, including a robust 55.6% from three, Blazers hit 15 of 27 three-pointers. The Jazz shot respectable 46.7% on three. That's more than respectable. If you can shoot almost 47% from the three-point line, you're going to win a lot of games in the NBA, even if you do struggle defensively. Jazz ended up making 14 of 30 three-point attempts. I'm looking at the stats in this game. The Jazz tied or trailed the Blazers in pretty much every major team statistical category, including rebounds, assists, blocks, three-pointers made. It was an all-around better effort from the Blazers than it was from the Jazz. CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard led the Blazers with 53 points combined, while the Jazz guard line of Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell combined for 47 points of their own. So really not too bad. And looking back at last season, what the Jazz had on the guard line with Mitchell and Ricky Rubio, that's a far cry for the Jazz. Much better offensive performance. Rudy Gobert also had a solid game, had a double-double, 13 points and 15 rebounds. The Blazers guards are just, they're so tough for him because they work so well in small spaces. They're able to get shots off and hit tough layups that a lot of other guards in the NBA can't. So it's just, I mean, it's one of those nights. The Blazers have always been a tough matchup for the Jazz. Seems like often in these matchups the last couple of years, it's one team or the other. Whoever comes out hot to start the game usually ends up winning the games in a runaway. There are not a lot of close games between the Blazers and Jazz. We look at Emmanuel Mudiay. He got his second game with the Jazz under his belt. He looked pretty good, scored 12 points on 5 of 8 shooting from the field. He also had 6 assists in 21 minutes last night. He does like to shoot the ball a lot, but I was surprised looking at the stats this morning seeing those 6 assists. He did well. A couple times he looked lost on the defensive end, but he puts in good effort, and his size for a backup point guard is just incredible in the NBA. He should be able to put up nights like this pretty regularly as long as he can get on the floor with his defensive effort. A disappointing note for the Jazz, starting power forward Bojan Bogdanović. He really struggled on both ends last night. He appeared out of position or switching ineffectively on multiple defensive possessions throughout the night. He was also 0 for 9 from the field, including 0 for 5 from 3. Jazz fans might look at that. Jazz fans who haven't been following Bogdanović might look at it and be concerned about it and wonder what the Jazz have gotten for their 4-year, $72 million that they gave Bogdanović. But I really think this is just one bad night. Bogdanović is a very good player, and the Jazz have a lot of confidence in him. And really, he's just someone who needs to keep shooting. You know, guys like Kyle Korver, Jeff Hornacek, guys Jazz fans are familiar with, shoot themselves out of slump. That's what shooters do, and that's what Bojan Bogdanović needs to do. As for Joe Ingles, he was in midseason form last night. He hit 4 of 5 from 3. I mentioned 3 for 3 in the second quarter. He finished with 12 points with those 4 threes, and of course, just like Joe Ingles is always wont to do, he was talking plenty of trash throughout the game, getting in the face of a few Blazers. He earned himself a technical, too, after a stare down of one of the referees. So we'll take a break, and then when we return, we're going to talk about the preseason, what Jazz fans can look for, what things that they should be concerned about, and what they can take solace from after this 1-4 preseason. Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Jerome, and Brian Preece as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show. So here's the question after a 1-4 Jazz preseason. Should Jazz fans be worried about the defense and what they've seen so far? Before last night's game, Quinn Snyder was asked about the Jazz defense and what he sees from the team so far in practice and games. Quinn made the comment that last year the Jazz, early in the season, were 18th in the league defensively, and then they finished at or near the top of the league in almost every major defensive statistical category. The thing that we've got to keep in mind as Jazz fans, the Jazz are working 6 new players into their rotation. That's more than half of what their usual rotation is going to be on a night-in, night-out basis. And in the Jazz system, this defensive system is a more mentally and physically complex defensive system than almost any other teams in the league. So it's not unexpected to see the Jazz struggle so far in the preseason. Have they struggled more than I thought they would? At times, yes, but you've got to take into account that there's a couple things here. The Jazz are significantly smaller than they were last season after losing Derek Favors and Jay Crowder in trades during the offseason. but they still have the length and athleticism to match up with teams in ways that they simply couldn't do last season. They sacrifice some size for that athleticism, Jazz fans have never seen 1 through 12 on this roster. You know, we can take a look at the athleticism, looking at a few plays in the second quarter. Power forward Jeff Green got switched onto Damian Lillard and really held his own. He forced Lillard into a couple tough shots. He forced him to pass the ball, and that's something that last year, if we saw Derek Favors get switched onto Lillard on the perimeter, Lillard was more often than not going to tie him in knots and get to the basket for a layup. So I don't know. In short, I'm really not that worried. We've got to look at this. Like I said, the Jazz are integrating 6 new players into their lineup, along with increasing the roles for guys like Royce O'Neal, who's now starting for the team, George Niang, who's going to take on more of a significant role off of the bench, and Tony Bradley is going to be getting his first consistent minutes with the NBA team. So this is going to take time, and it's going to take time especially defensively. What the Jazz are focusing on so far in the preseason, what every team focuses on in the preseason, is not their opponent each night. They go into every game with a set of goals and things that they want to work on, and players are working on individual things. So they're focusing on the basics. They're focusing on learning the system. In shoot-around, they're not going over what their opponent is going to run. They're not talking about how they can defend certain pick-and-roll plays or what to do on out-of-bounds plays, or you know, you play this guy's left hand when he's on the right side of the floor, or anything like that. That's not what they're looking at. They're focusing on themselves and improving as a team. What I think Jazz fans really should be looking at and celebrating this season is the new Jazz offense that we've been looking at. They're capable of carrying the team during lackluster defensive performances. Last season, I didn't feel like it really mattered how well the Jazz could play, especially like if you look at the playoffs. The Jazz could have played outside of their minds defensively, and oftentimes they did against the Rockets in the first round, but it didn't matter because their offense simply couldn't score enough to keep up or score easily enough to beat the Rockets. So it's something that the Jazz now have that in their back pocket, that they can put a lineup of 4 and 5 guys on the floor consistently that are going to be able to create problems for opponents and score. We look at the offensive unit of Conley, Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Bojan Bogdanović, and Rudy Gobert. That unit has already shown in the preseason, and tough to put a lot of stock into preseason, but they can work really well together offensively, and they've shown that they could be nearly impossible for most teams to defend this year. In short, I don't think Jazz fans need to worry about this team. A 1-4 preseason with 4 losses to NBA opponents, not a problem, because we saw this team get better with each game. We saw them learn how to work with each other every game. Like I said, they have so many new guys coming in. This is something that needs to be expected, and Jazz fans shouldn't be panicking. They don't need to be jumping from the rooftops. Everything's going to be all right. So with that, the preseason is over, and the Jazz look to open up the regular season. So Jazz fans, get ready. Tune in next Wednesday night when the Jazz face off in their home opener against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I know I'm going to be in the stands. Are you? Thanks for choosing Name Change Pending.